Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, and this is actually a combo show. Yeah, that's right. It's a crossover show right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am joined by Mark King of Locked On Grizzlies. So, again, listeners, welcome to Locked On Grizzlies as well. So what is Mark and I going to, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, the bubble. That's right. As you know, the Spurs and Grizzlies are part of that bubble team kind of slate. You know, the Spurs, Grizzlies, Suns, Kings, et cetera, et cetera. So what Mark and I are going to discuss are the Grizzlies' chances at holding off the Spurs and vice versa. Grizzlies, are they worried about San Antonio sneaking up on them? So let's going to get right to it. Mark, welcome to Locked On Spurs. And by the way, I'm glad to be on Locked On Grizzlies as well.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me and vice versa. It's you know, we're getting close. The teams have are going to Orlando. I think the Grizzlies left this morning. I don't know when the Spurs got there, but and they're part of that 3-day window. But yeah, it's exciting. We're actually kind of can see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, obviously, we all know what's happening right now. I don't think we're going to rehash it. The NBA is resuming out in the bubble, which is out in Florida at the Walt Disney Resort. So there you have it. Mark, let's go ahead and dive right into this. Like your team, your Grizzlies, they're in the eighth seed right now, and you have quite a few teams chasing that spot. First of all, when you look at those that are behind the Grizzlies, as mentioned, the Spurs, Suns, and Kings, et cetera, is there a team out there that kind of puts the fear in you guys as far as, you know what, this team could come up and take our spot?
Yeah, I think, you know, the most likely candidate for that is the Spurs. I mean, that's not the Spurs. Sorry, not the Spurs. I apologize to Spurs fans. It's really Pelicans just because of their ease of schedule. I mean, they still, you know, even with the schedule that was put out, it resembles a lot of the schedule that most teams already had. And so they had a, you know, traditionally easy schedule. Not everybody doesn't have a super easy schedule because you take a lot of those teams that were bad teams out of it completely. And so that really gets you into a much more difficult schedule just by kind of default. But I think that, you know, I think the Pelicans are a good team. Like they're, you got a lot of good players, but the Grizzlies are in a really, really good spot. Just, you know, mathematically, they're in a good spot in terms of what they have to do. They just got to kind of just go par for the course. And I just don't see a lot of the teams behind them, you know, going 6-2 or 7-1 or something like that, that they really have to do to kind of get up and take that spot, you know, without a plan or anything like that. So I think the Grizzlies are in a pretty good spot.
It begs the question then, why do you think the Spurs aren't really an issue for your Grizzlies?
I mean, I think it just goes, again, I think it's in terms of where the Grizzlies are at, I think it's just math. You know, like if you just look at it logically, the Grizzlies, you know, already 3.5 games up on everybody and for that eighth spot. And, you know, they realistically have to lose a lot of games to really put themselves in a pretty bad position. Like even if they just won 3 games or 4 games, they're still probably in that playoff, in that play-in game at the end of the time. So, For me, I'm not necessarily worried about other teams because of how good or bad they are and why I think the Grizzlies are in a good spot. I just think they're going to spot just because of the work they've already done to put themselves in said spot. Sure. So I just think it's just kind of math in terms of the way it works out. It's just, like I mentioned, it would take the Grizzlies going winning 2 or 3 games and another team winning 6 or 7 games, which I think is highly unlikely.
When you look at the structure of how the NBA is going to be dealing with that eighth seed, you know, that whole play-in tournament, is that something the Grizzlies worry about? Do you think a play-in tournament versus a Spurs or Pelicans or Kings, et cetera, do you think that could be an issue for Grizzlies knowing that, my goodness, you know, wow, everything's going to be on the line in the next 1 to 2 games?
Well, I think it's definitely something to consider. I mean, these are games that – traditionally, the Grizzlies have been playing just regular season games, and it's a very young team, and they have not had any games that matter a lot. And I think that's something to consider for young teams, and the Pelicans included. Teams that don't have a whole lot of experience in that arena of, you know, when the games matter the most, how will you play? Something that the Spurs and the Trailblazers do have a lot of experience in. You know, when it comes down to mattering the most, You know, the Blazers and the Spurs have a lot of experienced players, the players that have been in playoff games before, have been in playoffs period before, you know, and so I think that that's not something to discount because it is a big deal. Learning how to win in the NBA is a real thing. I'd say that all the time on my show. Like learning how to win in the NBA is something that you is a very real thing for young players. And so when you have teams like the Pelicans and teams like the Grizzlies who have a lot of young players on them, that's something to kind of follow in the back of your head. Like, you know, what if when it comes down to crunch time, how will John Morant perform? I mean, how will Jaren Jackson Jr. perform versus, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, guys who have been there all, you know, been in big moments a lot before. And so I think that's just, that's definitely something to consider. I'd ask you the same thing. Like, do you think the Spurs, do Spurs fans think they have realistic chances to get into that play-in game?
I'm glad you brought that up. No, I'll be honest with you. A lot of Spurs fans don't have a lot of faith in this Spurs team heading into Orlando. Big reason, the performance during the regular season is so inconsistent, so up and down. They go on an 8-game losing streak. They win a couple, then they go on a 5-game losing streak, 3-game losing streak, win two, you know, just that inconsistency. And then you add the fact there's no long Marcus Aldridge heading to Orlando as well, season-ending surgery on the shoulder. That just pretty much took the win out of the sails from Spurs fans. I think if the Spurs force a play-in tournament for that eighth spot, I think that'd be a big success considering they're without LaMarcus Aldridge. They're going to be relying on a lot of their younger players to step up. I spoke to Trey Lyles right before recording, and I asked him about that. Hey, you know, you're big, you know, the team, they're going to have to really rally, aren't they? And during that media session, he told me, and maybe this would be good information, good intel for your crew and your fans, that he thinks the Spurs without LaMarcus Aldridge is actually not going to be a hindrance. Why? According to Trey Lyles, he tells me it's because the Spurs had played without LaMarcus Aldridge during the regular season and actually did okay. They were below 500 in those games that LMA was not playing, but it wasn't like they were 0-6. I'm exaggerating right here. It was close. It was something like 4-6, something around 4-5, something like that. I don't have the numbers right now. My point is that at least according to Lyles, he thinks the Spurs did okay without him. Now, is it a big loss? Of course. Are you playing against Grizzlies team? You got Jaren Jackson Jr. and that's a big right there, Valanciunas, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, the Spurs are going to be hurting in the middle. But, you know, what is Lyles going to say? Of course, he's going to have to come out there being confident. He's going to want to get that message across. But all in all, I think it's a tough road for the Spurs. It was going to be to begin with. Spurs were behind, what, 4 games, something like that, 4 games behind Memphis. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. You look at all the Vegas odds, you know, Spurs are near the bottom power rankings and Orlando bubble power rankings towards the bottom. And I get it. But you also throw in the fact that during the regular season, what, the Spurs went 1-2 versus your Grizzlies. So, I think it's going to be tough. And I really believe, Mark, that if they can just force the play-in tournament, I think Spurs fans would be happy, win or lost that tournament. Quick question for you before we head to our first break here, though. If you're looking at the Spurs, and I know you're saying, like, you know, San Antonio is not really going to be an issue, at least in your opinion, but is there something about the Spurs that would make you kind of bite your fingers a bit saying, uh-oh, great, we got a play-in tournament with these guys? Would it be the history of the Spurs? Would it be that guy on the sideline, Popovich? Would it be, what would you point to say, you know what, this team's going to be a problem now?
Well, you know, and you just talked about it. If LaMarcus Aldridge was playing, which, and that's a big, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, Lyles has got to say what he's got to say. Yeah. And I think most of his response would be go, well, he sure adds a whole lot of offense.
Exactly.
LaMarcus Aldridge is such a difficult problem for Memphis. He really is. They've had trouble with him every time they play him. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is not really big enough to kind of be with him. And then Jonas Valanciunas is not quick enough or athletic enough to be with him. So, like, you know, he's a player that really, really gave the Grizzlies problems. And so I think for the Grizzlies team and fans, if you could point to anything, I think in terms of why you feel good about the Spurs, it's because of that man right there, because he's just so good. He's just so good. But in terms of if you get to the playoffs and you get to the play-in game and it is the Spurs for the Grizzlies, you know, you just really never count them out. It's just the Spurs are the Spurs. Like, I think we go every year. Yeah. Grizz fans are like, oh, the Spurs aren't going to be very good this year. And then they come and win 50 games. Like, it's just, and I'm always like, look, as long as Greg Popovich is coaching basketball teams, and as long as the Spurs are the Spurs, I'm never going to say the Spurs are done until they're really done. And this might be it, but you just never really know, because he's such a fantastic coach. I mean, he really gets the best out of players. He understands how to coach them. He understands what to do to get the most out of his players. You know, and you see that someone like Kyle Anderson, who came from that system. I mean, that's just – he understands what he needs to do to get what he needs to get from his players. And so until you see them and they're done, you can't really ever count them out.
They're Jason Voorhees. They really are. They're that Friday the 13th Jason Voorhees that just will not die. But as of right now, it's definitely looking like the Spurs' playoff success is on shaky ground. When we get back, Mark and I are going to continue our chat about Memphis and San Antonio heading into the bubble right here on this crossover edition of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Grizzlies. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about rockauto.com. It's one of the best places you can go on the net when it comes to replacement parts for your car. It's a family-owned business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So there's that experience they got. You want to go to rockauto.com to shop for your auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got that catalog. It's tremendous. It's unique. It's huge. Every part you can think of is right there on rockauto.com. Whether that be for your car, your truck, for your do-it-yourselfers, to your pros, well, you're going to get the same price as those pros, that's for sure, and everything you need, such as taillights, lamps, when you need some motor oil, yeah, it's all there at rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and when you're there, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, just so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. We are back, and I'm joined by Mark King of Locked On Grizzlies right here joining me on Locked On Spurs in this special edition of the two podcasts. Mark, before we continue our chat, how can fans tune into Locked On Grizzlies for those Locked On Spurs fans that are listening in right now?
Absolutely, yeah. We enjoy fans from all around, just because, like we're having this show today, it's great to hear from other sides, to get that different perspective, and to just kind of see what the other fan bases are thinking in terms of this bubble. There's just only so many teams that are going to be able to make it out of the playoffs, and there are only so many teams that are really kind of vying for that last spot. So it's always fun to do these shows, but go to any podcast platform you're using, just Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those things, looked up Locked On Grizzlies and just subscribe. We appreciate all the subscriptions. You don't have to download the show if you don't want to sometimes, just to listen to what matters. Just go subscribe, because it helps us out, helps Locked On Spurs out for us to have those monthly subscriptions.
Exactly. Do what Mark King says there, listeners. All right, let's go to continue our chat. Spurs and Grizzlies heading into the bubble. I got to do a little bit of a scouting, if you will. I'm going to send out a probe and check out the layout of your Grizzlies right here, Mark. First of all, big question, any injuries that the Grizzlies are dealing with right now, or anything nagging, COVID, is something going on with your Grizzlies as far as the roster is concerned?
Now, the Grizzlies are actually, I mean, when the Grizzlies were stopped in March, they had quite a few injuries. Jaren Jackson Jr. being one of the main ones, Brandon Clark as well. There was a nagging injury with Jonas Valanciunas. Justice Winslow had not healed up from his trade, and all those guys have healed up now. The only player that you might we just don't know yet is Grayson Allen. He had an undisclosed hip injury at the end of the year. We don't really know exactly what it was, but it technically ended the season for him. So we just don't know. I've seen some stuff on his Instagram where he says he's ready to go. But the team hasn't said anything. They haven't given any updates about it. So I don't think we'll see Grayson Allen. People are really worried about Grayson Allen, but it just kind of adds to the depth for the Grizzlies. But they have no positive tests for COVID. Everybody's on track to be in Orlando. So nothing, you know, for the Grizzlies, they're actually, for the first time in a long time, pretty healthy. And so that gives them a pretty deep squad.
That's good to hear. And I'm glad to hear that nobody's sick from COVID. I mean, I think that's kind of like the big scary.
What about the Spurs? Have you guys had any tests positive or anything like that?
No. The big issue heading into Orlando was Pop, because he is of that age range where if for some reason the bug got in there, well, it would not be good for him. He is going to Orlando. and he will be with the team, according to the team. The question is, but at what capacity? Sure, he's going there to Orlando. Well, what if they isolate him? What if it's sure. like NFL style where they put him in the booth, you know, like in the defensive coordinator's booth or offensive coordinator's booth, and he's just shouting out plays from there via microphone? We don't know. But as far as what we've been told, Popovich is good to go to head to Orlando. As far as the players are concerned, all are healthy. No injuries to report prior to the stoppage. They had, I think it was Jakob Poeltl. He banged up his knee, and during the hiatus, though, he was able to recover. He says he's been pain-free for the past 2 months, which was the hiatus. So that was the only big major injury concern heading into Orlando, but he says he's good to go. This team is young. The Spurs team, yeah. Especially the young guys, they're itching. DeJounte Murray's been very vocal in this hiatus about how people don't know how good these young players are behind the scenes. And I think the Spurs are going to be showcasing them a lot because of LaMarcus Aldridge and because it's kind of a sprint. You know, the Spurs cannot afford to drop the first two games out in Orlando. And I believe one of the first games is against you guys, right? I think it's for the Spurs. It's Sacramento and Memphis. Yeah, second game. Thank you. So the Spurs cannot afford to lose pretty much any game. I mean, if they drop the first two, even if they split 1-1, I think they'll be on shaky ground. It was kind of a Hail Mary for them to even make the postseason had the regular season not taken a stop. Now you add in no LaMarcus Aldridge. Now you add in this 8-game mad dash. Now you add in the fact that you know, you guys are 100% ready to go. All the other teams in the bubble section of the West are ready to go. So it's going to be interesting. Now, we've been focusing about the Spurs and Grizzlies, rightfully so. It is locked on Grizzlies and Spurs. You mentioned the Blazers as a team that could be an issue, Pelicans as well. You kind of discounted the Spurs. So expect some tomatoes being thrown your way, Mark, from Spurs fan base.
I expect it. I welcome it. It's all good.
But what about the rest of the field? The Suns. I mean, they got invited. They're going to be there. They got Devin Booker. Who else is in our bubble slot? Kings, Spurs.
The Kings, Spurs, Blazers.
Blazers.
Yeah, the Kings and Suns are the only ones we haven't talked about.
Right. What do you think of those two teams? You'll deal with them if you have to deal with them, or are they a threat to that 8 seed that the Grizzlies hold right now?
You know, I the Suns are the Suns. They're so far behind that it's, you know, the only reason they got invited because the Wizards got invited because they had to have like another team that was outside the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Like, I firmly believe that's the only reason they even got the invite. I actually really like the Kings roster. I love De'Aaron Fox. I think he's very, very talented. I think they have a lot of really good players on their team. I think the Kings are a team that I don't think a lot of people talk about, including us on these shows. Like, I think sometimes they just kind of get lost. I don't know why, but I don't see a whole lot of people talk about things, but I love the Kings.
I think they're
a really good squad. Yeah. And Ja Morant has the point guard that's given him the most trouble this year is De'Aaron Fox. Only because I think De'Aaron Fox is like looking in a mirror for Ja Morant. He's so quick. He's so difficult to stay in front of. And, you know, there are a lot of other point guards you think Ja would have trouble with this year, like Kyrie Irving, you know, being one of them that really just didn't. Like, he played really, really well against a lot of the top point guards, you know, did well against James Harden, all these things. But De'Aaron Fox, he just had trouble with. De'Aaron Fox, the Grizzlies legitimately just could not get over it. I mean, every time they put him this year, they just really struggled. And so that is a team that I think – again, you know, it just comes down to math when it really kind of a lot of these teams. And I think the Kings are going to be playing pretty well. And it is one of the teams that if they got into that playing bubble against the Grizzlies, I'd be like, oh no, you know, like that's a tough one because the Grizzlies so much is Ja Morant. Ja Morant is the Grizzlies. If he's not playing well, the Grizzlies just don't win. It's just that simple because he's your superstar point guard, has the ball in his hands a lot, is really, you know, responsible for getting everybody else involved. And so, you know, he has to work so hard on defense sometimes. And you see, you know, like the last game, they actually put Dylan Brooks on De'Aaron Fox instead of Ja, because he had just had to work so hard on the defensive end. He just could not do anything on the offensive end. So I like the Kings. I think they're a good player. I think they're a good team. I don't think a lot of people talk about them either, but they, I think they are, they, they are, all these the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Spurs, a lot of these teams that are in this bubble we're talking about, I think are probably the future of the Western Conference in this league.
If you look at the situation right now with the Grizzlies, do you think there's a lot of pressure on these young kids? You got a young squad. You mentioned some of the names already. They're in a position where, you know, they're going to have a bullseye on their target, especially for these teams that are trying to get in. You know, you got a veteran squad like the Spurs. You got a Blazers squad that has Lillard and McCollum, and I think they're getting Nurkic back as well. Do you think they'll succumb to that pressure? Do you believe they'll be able to hang on and stem the tide that's coming at them?
The Grizzlies be able to hang on? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you look at the Grizzlies' schedule, and they have a few difficult teams coming up. I mean, the Blazers, A for one, they start against the Blazers, and that's kind of like that's a toss up, I think, because you got a lot of guys on that team that have not played together in a really long time, and then you know you got other teams like the Spurs, the Pelicans, who are going to be difficult outs, really and truly. Then you have games on there like the Thunder, and the last three games of the Grizzlies schedule are the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks, and three games that are probably not going to matter for the Raptors, Celtics, or Bucks because they're just going to be resting guys, getting ready for the playoffs. And so why, mm-hmm. what is the benefit for the Bucks playing Giannis on the last game of this before the playoffs start? What's the benefit of playing Jason Tatum or, Kyrie or any of these guys, on those three teams in the last three games of the regular season? It's just like the regular, any other regular season where you see a lot of guys getting rested and getting ready for the playoffs. And so the Grizzlies got incredibly lucky in those last three and four games with teams that are technically good. And you look at them just on paper, you go, that's a difficult game. But in the reality situation, they'll probably catch a couple breaks because a lot of those guys won't be playing. And if they do play, they'll only be playing 10 minutes. And then it's just a bunch of other guys. And so those might be wins for the Grizzlies that would otherwise be losses. And so I think the Grizzlies got a really good shakeup in the schedule just the way it's laid out.
Yeah, and you look at the Spurs side, in case your listeners wondering about, well, you know, how's the Spurs schedule looking like? It's a tough out, man. And, you know, start off against the Kings, which on paper, the Spurs should be okay. Then they go against your Grizzlies, which, again, on paper, the Spurs should have a good shot at maybe handing your Grizzlies an L. But after that, it gets dicey. You got Jazz, and it isn't in any particular order. You got the Jazz, the Nuggets, Jazz twice, actually. And you got Pelicans. Zion, for some reason, loves to play against the Spurs and drops about a billion threes in 10 seconds, as we all saw during the regular season. And then you got Philly. Philly's thrown in there. That's Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons that they got to deal with. The Spurs got a really, really tough out, and that's why they got to be on their P's and Q's. They got to cross their T's and dot their I's. They cannot afford losses. I dare say even a two-game loss pretty much puts the death nail on them. But
I noticed you said the Jazz, but also I don't think the Jazz are that good. I'll be honest with you. I just don't. I mean, I think they're missing Bogdanovich, their main secondary shooter. Rudy Gobert has publicly said he's still suffering from symptoms of COVID. Like, and we all know it's a respiratory. Not that I don't wish anybody ill will, but at the same time, like, how much are they really going to play Rudy Gobert in this stretch before the playoffs? Like, is that something they're going to rat? Like, and just overall, like, I just think they're okay. Like, the Grizzlies had the Jazz too, and I actually put that down as a win for the Grizzlies. So, like, I don't know, man. I don't think the Jazz are as difficult as I think people make them out to be.
Well, I look from the Spurs' viewpoint, it's a little difficult because of the loss of the size.
Sure.
LaMarcus, another big you can throw at Rudy Gobert, mm-hmm. And the rest of the bigs they got on that squad. Look, I'm not knocking Trey Lyles. I'm not knocking Jakob Poeltl, but LaMarcus Aldridge is an all-star. LaMarcus Aldridge gives you a little bit of everything on both ends of the court. Jakob is a great defender, but limited offensively. Trey Lyles can knock down the three, could run like a gazelle, but in the paint, can he contend? And, will he be able to contend? I think that's the issue right now.
But neither one of them are still not LaMarcus Aldridge. And I think your listeners would agree as well as mine. Like, that's just
– yeah.
They're just not. They're so far and away from who LaMarcus Aldridge is, what he can do offensively. And I mean, he's just not. It's a huge loss, which is probably why you mentioned earlier, people have a lot of faith, just because that's a big blow.
Yeah, it really is. And even to your Grizzlies, you got Valanciunas, the Spurs are going to throw out him. Chimezie Metu, if they have to really go deep. Sure. Tyler Zeller, the recent addition right before they resume play in Orlando. I mean, it's a difficult out. And then, you fast forward and you look at Joel Embiid, as mentioned. Nikola Jokic, the big. I think the middle is going to be an issue now. And I'm hoping Trey Lyles is right. I'm hoping he's going to step up his game, as he said, et cetera, et cetera. But even beyond that, defensively, the Spurs were not really good this year. They were near the bottom when it came to defensive ratings. Porous defense, not much of perimeter defense. Not a knock on DeMar DeRozan, but he's not the best. He gives the old college try, but defenders blow by him. And even if you go beyond the first line of defense on the perimeter, like DeJounte Murray, excellent perimeter defender, Derek White, the same thing too. Eventually, those two guys are gonna have to take a rest, and you bring in Bryn Forbes, Marco Bellinelli, Patty Mills. Again, a defensive issue. Spurs offensively were good during the regular season, one of the best. They can definitely light it up. Their bench was one of the most productive benches in the league, and I think that gets overshadowed because of their record. If you look at their bench numbers, it's incredible, but their defense hasn't been the same as it once year as it once been during their golden years or Popovich's peak, et cetera, et cetera. So all in all, just a bad mix for the Spurs right now. I'm hoping that they're going to rally. I'm hoping these young guys, Lonnie Walker, again, a promising perimeter defender. Hopefully he'll show out and showcase what he can do on both ends of the court. But right now, heading into the bubble, Spurs fans are nervous. Yeah, there's a lot of more cons than pros from the Spurs side. I'm hoping they shock the world. I'm hoping they force a play-in tournament, whether it be against your Grizzlies or whoever is in that East seed at the end of the day. But just heading into the bubble, my God, the Spurs are really behind the E-ball right now, and it's going to be difficult for them in Orlando.
Yeah,
you don't want to wish anything bad on other teams, but they're going to need a luck too. They're going to need it. And hopefully the Spurs can capitalize on it. If not, can you believe this, Mark? We could possibly witness in a few short weeks the end of 22 consecutive playoff appearances from the Spurs, which would tie the NBA record, Mark. That's just incredible.
It really is. And that's why I said earlier, you just don't count the Spurs out until they're like done. Even now, as we sit here talking about how all the things like you aren't really looking up for the Spurs, how there's a lot of challenges and this, that, and the other. Like I said earlier, you still have one of the greatest coaches in history of the the game. It's just you can't say no until it's actually done. Which
exactly.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. But when we get back, Mark and I are going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Grizzlies. We are back, and I'm joined by Mark King of Locked On Grizzlies right here on this crossover edition of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Grizzlies. Mark, I'm going to let you have some final words here or maybe some final questions about the Spurs for your listeners that are kind of looking at the schedule saying, okay, there's these pesky Spurs we got ahead of them and they're chasing us. Anything that you want to ask me?
First of all, I just saw it when I was scrolling Twitter as we're kind of talking, and Patty Mills came across my timeline. So shout out to him. He's done editing the rest of his entire salary, over $1 million for Black Lives Matter. So I think that's
huge.
Very cool. So shout out to the Spurs. Shout out to Patty Mills. I think one of the biggest things you mentioned earlier, one of your answers, just kind of talking was what the Grizzlies are going to do without LaMarcus. Excuse me, what the Spurs are going to do without LaMarcus Aldridge and the Grizzlies being able to throw Jonas Valanciunas at them. But I think the more importantly is who is their best person to slow down Ja Morant? Like what the Grizzlies, when they look at who should they be concerned or looking at to slow down Ja Morant? Because as I mentioned earlier, as Ja goes, so does this team. I love Jonas Valanciunas, but he's just not the player that's going to, give you 25 points and win the game for you. I mean, all point guards, they start with the ball. And all big guys, they rely on point guards to give them the ball. So it's a very different situation.
That's a good question. And I think that there lies the issue for the Spurs when it comes to perimeter defense. Morant, he's a beast. I mean, he's just a rookie, but the way he plays doesn't look like he's a rookie out there. The Spurs had their issues with him during the regular season. They threw guys out like DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker at a time, Derek White, and guys like that. And I think if I'm looking at it on paper, maybe Rudy Gay, maybe somebody they can throw at Ja. But the Spurs just had issues containing young athletic players this season. He's one of them. Ja Morant lit up the Spurs. It wasn't pretty. I correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he have a career night versus the Spurs? I could be mistaken.
There's a good chance. Ja's had a lot of rookie records this year. So
yeah, that sticks out the most right there is him having some sort of incredible night versus San Antonio. But nevertheless, no, I mean, I think this is a situation where the Spurs have to do it by committee. They'll just throw different looks at him. Different situations, different defensive schemes as best they can versus that young guy. It's going to be an issue. He's an issue not just for the Spurs, but for the rest of the league. On the flip, though, do you look at somebody like a DeMar DeRozan that could give your Grizzlies issues, knowing that he's probably going to get more touches without LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, you always worry about someone like that. He's a guy that is a volume shooter. I think the Grizzlies, will have to rely on Dylan Brooks a lot. But, a guy that we really haven't talked about at all in this whole show, which is surprising because I love him, is Justice Winslow. It's a guy that is a bigger guy and a better defender and someone who, we very well see start with the Grizzlies from day one. I mean, the Grizzlies traded for him in hopes that he would be their starter. Alongside Ja Morant or in that three spot. So that kind of bumps someone like Kyle Anderson back to the bench. But, someone like Justice Winslow, who is notoriously a better defender than he is an offensive player, you could put you're looking to have someone like him on people like DeMar DeRozan and those other, higher profile guards. Like I mentioned earlier, having him on someone like that gives Ja and Dylan some other offensive players a break and it allows them to be better on the offensive end. So, that's something I think we'll definitely probably see is Justice on DeMar DeRozan for sure. He is, he's back, he's healthy and the Grizzlies are super excited about him. Taylor Jenkins is super excited about him. He, in his press conference, few days ago, would even label him as a position. Of course, he said he called him a playmaker, that is. That's coach speak, though, because he just didn't want to put him in a box, I presume, in terms of what people can expect from him. So, that's again a guy we haven't mentioned this whole show, but is a guy that I think really changes that dynamic of what the Grizzlies can do because he can also handle the ball and let Ja do some things off the ball as well.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks, he dropped 21 points on the Spurs, I believe, one of the earlier meetings before the pandemic and the shutdown started. So he's definitely lit up the Spurs before. And this overall, Mark, you look what the Spurs had to do just to get one win during the regular season. Of course, that was then. Maybe things are different now. But in that one win, the Spurs had to post 145 points to get the win. And that's with LaMarcus Aldridge. But then you fast forward, you look at some of the other final scores. In the first meeting, the Spurs lost 113-109. In the final meeting before the stoppage, the Spurs lost 134-121. So you see where I'm going with here. You lose a LMA, that's a double-double guy right there. And yeah, big issues for the Spurs when they face the Grizzlies. Look, I'm going to pull for the Spurs. I hope they beat your Grizzlies, force at least a play-in or win outright. But as of right now, it does look like it's going to be a tough out for the Spurs. And can you tell your Grizzlies just to lay off poaching our coaches? I mean, how many Spurs coaches have the Grizzlies taken? Tyler Jenkins and then now Blake Ahern?
Yeah, can we just, you gotta when there's someone better than you in coaching, you just gotta keep going for, you gotta look at what they're doing and go, you know what? That's probably good. Let's go for that. So either way, it's gonna be fun. Hopefully it's gonna be safe. Hopefully the Grizzlies have learned a lot from the MLS bubble because it has not gone well for them at all. So I just hope that, we just continue to keep the players healthy. That's kind of the first and foremost for me. It's always been is that let's do this in a reasonable manner. So hopefully, that we can do that. Hopefully we get some basketball and, if it works well and all goes well, that's a format that you can probably look at towards next year, because let's be honest with ourselves, this isn't going away. And next year, you know, we don't really talk about it because we got the bubble coming up, but the next year's season now will have to be adjusted and amended and all types of things to kind of fit where they need to fit. Yeah. And if COVID-19 is still here, which in all likelihood it will be, have to do something there as well. So if it all goes well, you know, hopefully this will be a model for maybe doing something in the future too.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I echo that. I hope everybody stays safe. There's not too many reports of the virus getting in that Disney resort. Like a lot of fans kind of forget that it's not just the players and the personnel and the coaching staff going. There's hotel staff, there's waiters, there's valets, there's, you know, managers of each resort there. So, you know, it's not just the Spurs. There's a few media going for those that are willing to afford. Did you see that number, Mark?
I'll actually be in Disney for over 10 days at the same time we'll be playing basketball as a personal vacation. My wife works for Disney. And so we go there a couple times a year. We actually go a couple times a year. So it's fun and the kids enjoy it. So we'll be down there just as a vacation. I did not get invited because it is super expensive. It's just ludicrously expensive where they're staying. So
are you going to be attending games or?
No, I don't know. I've put in our request for our media team to see if we can do the tier two. Cause there's like, you know, there's a couple tiers. There's one that's in the bubble all the time. And there's the second tier where you can actually attend the game, that kind of thing. So I actually did put in a request with our media team to see, so we'll see what happens. You know, if I don't, it's not a big deal, because again, you know, we were going to watch it anyway. Might as well see if I can attend the game so we're down there. So,
yeah, and teams are going to be very accommodating. When I did the Spurs media session, going to delay this start of this episode. Sorry again, Mark. the Spurs personnel PR staff said that they'll get to Orlando. They got to do their quarantine. They got to go to practice. So they don't know when, but the one thing they made sure was they're going to try to coordinate some sort of media sessions. And I think that's the best thing you can go, because I think the NBA said it's going to cost on average per media person going $550 a night. That's ridiculous.
That's on the low end. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the hotel prices, what some of them are going to be, and you know, the 500, you know, 450, some of those hotels can be $450, $650 a night just for the hotel.
Yeah.
And so that's on a low end. And you know, I think the Grizzlies are only taking one PR person and one like social media person. That's it. They're not outside of the coaching staff. They're only taking two people. That's it.
That's smart. That's smart. Well, Mark, I wish your Grizzlies the best of luck, but not when it comes against the Spurs. So sorry about that, Mark. And I'm pretty sure the sentiment's probably the same too. You know, like, go absolutely. Grizzlies go when the Grizzlies face the Spurs. But you know, Mark and I, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about Spurs' chances of getting that eight seed that Memphis currently holds right now ahead of the Disney games out in Orlando? You can talk to me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And speaking of the Spurs Zone, go to News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Plenty of topics for you to enjoy and read out there from, as Mark mentioned earlier, Patty Mills, why he's donating the remainder of his salary to social justice causes, as well as if you're interested in the NBA 2K League, I cover that sometimes too. You can read up what's going on with that league. And as well as, pretty much everybody counting the Spurs out. Go read which outlet is the latest to say Spurs have zero chance out in Orlando to make the postseason. And, of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. Mark, you want to tell my listeners about yourself and, you know, your Locked On Grizzlies, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely, yeah. Like we mentioned earlier, go to whatever podcast platform you use. So whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, any Apple, iTunes, you can subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies just like you subscribe to Locked On Spurs. We appreciate the subscription. Again, you don't got to download, just go subscribe. You can hit me up on Twitter at King_producer. That's kind of where we continue our conversation as well. Hit me up if you got questions, if you got thoughts on the Grizzlies. I try to answer as much as possible. We have a Monday mailbag on our show. Every single week we answer everybody's questions as well. So continue the conversation with us. Make sure you subscribe to both our shows, and so we can continue doing these shows for you guys.
You heard Mark. Make sure you go do all of that he just said. So for Mark King of Locked On Grizzlies, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs and Locked On Grizzlies.